good to see everybody this evening. It's always wonderful that we had this opportunity to be able to come together, and always happy to be able to do this with you, coming to study, to sing out, to edify and uplift one another. Certainly hope that everyone has been encouraged as we've gone throughout our service so far. Hope that everybody has had a good Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. It is a man-made holiday, but doesn't always mean it's wrong to enjoy such days. On that note, in consideration of that and other holidays, the title of the lesson this evening is Why Only Once a Year? And as I put this together, my mind went to, I think Kim had brought up that she had heard a lesson by, I think it was Fred, during Christmas time, had done a lesson during Christmas time on, and he titled it, or one of the main point was, what did Jesus do the rest of the 364 days of the year? And so as I started to put this together, I was like, probably off the same mindset. But anyways, why only once a year? And I bring that point out and thought of many more things than just Christmas or something. But today being Valentine's Day, or we have Christmas, or you have birthdays and anniversaries, any of the holidays, any special day that you take out. And it's a time in which we start doing things differently. We react differently. You Valentine's, you buy something special for your spouse, or Christmas time, some people focus on the birth of Christ and are more generous, more giving, more kind, happy in spirit. Anniversary, coming back around, same thing. Valentine's, make it a little more special. Birthdays, you know, again, the celebration of life and another year passing by and enjoying that time that we've had with each other. But why is that any different than any other day? Again, if we're looking at life in itself, should we not be happy every day that the sun comes up, every day that we're able to get out of our beds? Again, Christmas, shouldn't we always be giving? Shouldn't we always be kind and joyful and happy? If you're going in the aspect that so many in the world get caught up in, of course, remembering our Lord and Savior, should we not always be remembering our Lord and Savior? Should we not always be thinking about Him? Anniversaries, again, just the mindset that we should always be striving to make the most out of our relationship with our spouse. And so as we go down that thought, as Christians, and I know, and not to take away that sometimes we do a little bit more on other days, but when it comes down to it, we should always be doing most of these things. We should always be following in the footsteps of Christ, always thinking about His Word, always being kind to our neighbors, always having a love for one another. And so just to make a few points this evening on that, looking at a few Bible verses, and then I'll let the lesson be yours. So going into that point, should always be doing these things. And since today's Valentine's, I started with Ephesians chapter 5 and to the point of spouses and considering anniversaries, that the relationship should always be striving to grow. The relationship would always be the way God had designed it. When we talk about husbands, love your wives, that should always be there. Wives, submit, respect your husbands. That should always be there. So as we go to Ephesians 5, and you start there in verse 22, and it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. But the Lord does, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, of His bones. For this reason, man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is the great mystery by I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." everything we read in there is something that should always be there. Not just during the anniversary, not just during Valentine's, not just during the special holidays where you're buying an extra gift for them, but it's something that we should always love our wives as Christ has loved the church, always striving to present our wives as he brings out here Christ presenting the body of the church, his body, his spouse, holy, without blemish, doing everything we can for them, loving them as our own body, wives submitting to your husbands, respecting your husbands. That should always be a mindset that we have. Not just from time to time, not just on special occasions, but something that we should always be striving in. This verse is not just for 1 or 2, 3 days out of the whole year. As we open up our Bible, it's always to be this way. In Galatians chapter 6, in verse 9, Galatians chapter 6, and in verse 9, if you turn along with me there, as it reads here, it says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." So in just the mindset of doing good, as we consider the holidays and the times that we get caught up in wanting to do something extra good, and helping out the poor, or giving more, or, you know, laying something at the door of our neighbor's, at the neighbor's door. And so we do all these extra good things. But here it says, don't let us grow weary in doing good. Don't let it be just for a time in the season, and then all of a sudden I'm tired of doing good, so it's no longer the holidays, and I don't have to do it no more. Why? Why do we have to stop doing good? Why do we have to stop being so kind and so happy and joyful in the life that God has blessed us with? We're not supposed to grow weary in doing good. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 9, 1 Peter 4 and in verse 9, as we read it here, it says, "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." So, you know, in the mindset of receiving people into your homes and going to other people's houses, or going just out to eat or spending time with others, and just having that hospitable mindset that it's not, well, I'll do it this once and I don't have to have them over again the rest of the year. I'll do it this once and then that'll take care of having anyone else over for the month. Or, you know, that's not the mindset. That is setting a plan and not having the mindset of being good and spending time and loving your neighbor, loving your brethren. You know, continuously being hospitable. When we go through the qualification of elders and deacons, it brings out a man that is hospitable. It's not someone who does it once a year. Someone who we know is always welcoming people into their homes, always trying to go and spend time with others. When we read about the widow that is known for her hospitality, and that you know, we're going to help take care of her because of the good works that she has done. It's not because, oh yeah, there's that one time she did it, you know, when 10 years ago. No, this is someone who's always just doing good. Things we should always be doing. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 and in verse 21. Matthew 18 and verse 21. As it brings out here is Peter questioning our Lord and Savior. And he says, "Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to 7 times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. You know, how often, when do I have to forgive? Do I have to forgive around Christmas? Do I have to be willing, you know, because it's the holiday and we got to be welcoming, and so, you know, I'll let them come over for this time of the year, but after that, you know, no, man, forgive. Truly forgiving. When we think about when God forgives us, he says he remembers no more. He forgives us into the point of letting us have an eternal home in heaven. We forgive somebody so much that they're always welcome into our doors. Always welcome to come to us. Forgiving, loving, kind, following our Lord. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and you start there in verse 34, as it goes in and giving us the scenario of being judged. And you read here in verse 34, it says, "Then the king will say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. The answer wasn't, well, it was during the holidays. You know, that one time of the year that you gave a little bit extra. The one time that you paid attention a little bit more. The one time that you know, it's the concept question here. When are people poor? Always. When are people needing assistance? There's always someone needing assistance. When is somebody, you know, naked and afraid, sick and in prison? When do people need help? It's not just once a year, guys. It's not just once a year as we consider all the different times in which we try to set apart. Again, we often try to make that point during the Lord's Supper. You know, it's not just once a week that we need to be remembering that sacrifice. We need to be thinking about that continuously. Remembering every day that it wouldn't be worth living if He had not made that sacrifice. Because without that sacrifice, we'd have no hope. We'd have no way to get to heaven. We would have to see the wrath of God. A reminder for us every day. So every day we should be following Christ. Every day we should be following Him. Always. Looking to Him as our example. In James chapter 4 and verse 17. James chapter 4 and verse 17. I tell you, this verse sometimes is hard to swallow. It says, simple and straightforward. It says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. One who knows to do good. One who knows the right thing. In your mindset, in your consciousness, you sit back and you see something that needs to be done. You see someone in need. You know you could do something to assist. You know you could do something to help. And when you drive by, or you just turn around and go the other direction, or you take the example of the Good Samaritan, as the two others, the priest and the Levite, and they walk on the other side. They knew to do good. And they just walked on by. Because there's so many things that if we sit back sometimes, if we have this verse memorized and we just say it in ourselves every morning, you repeat this to yourself. I know to do good. I see something do good. I'm going to do it. And then you pass by. And then just a little bit later, you know the opportunity's done past. And you're sitting there, I should have done something. You know, because then you start running the scenarios. What if no one else stopped by? What if no one else did anything? You know, I say someone else will. Surely, you know, and of course I give a mindset, especially as it comes down to, you know, someone on the side of the road, a vehicle. Now, I've always said this with my wife and kids. Usually I won't stop. I'm by myself. I'll probably stop and see if they need anything. I'm not going to put my kids in danger or anything. But if I'm by myself, usually my mindset also is everybody's got a phone today. They've called somebody already. I don't know that. Their phone might be dead. I could have stopped and asked if they need to make a phone call. Or at least that I could do is call, you know, the police and say, hey, I saw a car on the side of the road. You might want to check on it. You know, there's some little things that we can do. We can pick up the phone and call and say, hey, there's something on the side of the road. Didn't look like a good situation. I was not going to stop by and put myself in danger, but you might want to go and see for me. Anyone's got a phone to do that. There's just so many things that we can go down that line when we look at this one verse here. To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. In Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. Colossians 3 and verse 23. It says here, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Do we get that mindset also? And we're just, you know, sometimes it's the littlest task, sometimes it's, you know, helping out, sometimes it's that hospitality or something, but we give it the bare minimum, right? We don't put everything into it. We're going to do the least amount. But if it was Christ that he was having over, but if it was our Father up in heaven, if it was God that you was going to go visit, if it was the Lord that we saw that was on the side of the road, that would change everything and how we reacted and how we helped and what we did. Right? And that's why he says, then whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. I like to use this verse when I'm getting too competitive in sports. Like God told me to do it full force. I don't think everybody accepts that, but we're supposed to. We're supposed to have a mindset to do everything wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. And when we're out working and you have a job and you're not very happy with your boss right now, serve him as if it was the Lord. They're your boss. Do these things always following our God. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Matthew 22 and verse 37 says, Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. When do we have to love God with everything? On Sunday? On Christmas? On Easter? When is it that you have to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind? Every day we should love our God. Every single day should we be serving Him, thanking Him, praying to Him, listening to Him, loving Him with everything. You know, again, we get caught back, go back to the young lawyer that asked that question, well, who's my neighbor? Well, here's the other question. When do I have to help my neighbor? When should I love him as myself? Always. Always. When do you hate your own self? When do you hate your body? Because that's what it's saying. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, how often do you hate yourself? How often do you tear yourself apart? How often do you neglect when you're yourself, when you're hungry, when you need to clean yourself, when you need the rest, when you know you need, when do you take care of yourself? Always. So when do you take care of your neighbors, your family, your brethren in Christ? You should always be there for one another. Always loving God. Again, Jesus tells us that in Luke 9, verse 23. Luke 9, 23, then he said to them, all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's a daily walk with Christ, guys. Every day that we are blessed to live upon this creation of His, every day that He blesses us with the breath of life, we should be serving Him, keeping His commandments, and continuing faithful until we stop. Until we face that day of judgment. So I extend the invitation this evening to any who need the prayers of the congregation to help them continue to fight that good fight, to continue to run that race. You're here and you need the strength from the brethren. If you need to have a Bible study, let it be known. Let us know what we can do to assist you, to aid you, to help comfort you. If you have something to come, let me know to rejoice. Let us rejoice with. Something to be sorrow about, let us know so we can be there and lean on you, and let you lean on us. And that, you know, again, we weep with one another. We rejoice with one another. We also extend the invitation to any that need to be baptized. You have the knowledge of the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He's died for your sins, and you know what has been commanded. You've seen the examples throughout the book of Acts. Seeing that each time that someone was converted, that they see the repentance, the turn of direction, the baptism that washed away their sins. Don't neglect that. Today's the day you can start serving God with all your heart and soul. If we can assist you, please let it be known as we stand and sing.